Now I'm going to begin reading again here in verse 2 of the 7th chapter of Hebrews. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, that is, without pedigree, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. May I say to you that this man Melchizedek is going to be a type of Christ. He's going to represent him in several different ways. He's king of peace. He's king of righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ is a king. He is righteous. He's been made unto us righteousness. And he also is priest of the Most High God. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Now he is a picture and a type of Christ in another way. The Lord Jesus comes out of eternity, moves into eternity, has no beginning, has no ending. He is the beginning. He is the ending. And you can't go beyond him in the past. You can't get ahead of him in the future. He compasses all of time and all of eternity. Now, how are you going to get a man that would fit into that? Well, here we're in a book of Genesis. And this man, Melchizedek, is in a book that gives pedigrees. Adam begets so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and his brethren. This one begat this one and this one, and you follow the genealogies down, and it's a book of the families. But this man, Melchizedek, in a book that gives genealogies, he just walks out on the page of Scripture out of nowhere into the everywhere, and then he walks off the page of Scripture into the everywhere, and we don't see him anymore. There's a prophecy in Psalm 110, and now we're in the interpretation of him, and he's a picture of Christ in that he is the eternal God. That is, the Lord Jesus is, and he is a priest because he's the Son of God, and he's a priest continually. That is, he just keeps on being a priest. There'd be no change in his priesthood. Now, let's come back and look here at Melchizedek again. He came out at the right time, the right moment, because Abraham's going to be tested. And he needed someone to encourage him, to strengthen him. And he came out with bread and wine. And he was priest of the Most High God. And that's the first time he's called the Most High God. That'll be used several times, and it's going to be quoted here. In fact, we're told in this particular chapter that he's the Most High God. That is, that he is the God of creation, that he is above everything. Now, that's going to figure in this very prominently. Then the king of Sodom came to Abraham with a proposition. He said, "Now, Abraham, it was nice of you to recover Lot and the rest of the people, and we appreciate that, and I know you don't want to make them slaves. Give us the people, and you keep the booty, because according to the code of Hammurabi in that day, the law of warfare, meant that the booty belonged to Abraham." Said, "You keep it. It's yours." Abraham said, "Why, I won't do that at all, because you couldn't give me a shoestring. You couldn't give me a piece of thread." That's really getting it down, friends. He says, "I won't receive anything of you." Then God appeared to Abraham after that and said, "I'm your exceeding great reward." The Lord Jesus Christ is a great high priest, and he ministers to us today. And friends, I want to be very frank with you. If he doesn't minister to you and doesn't bless your heart and life, it's because you're still a little babe and you haven't grown up and you haven't entered into this great truth that is here. How about it, Christian friend? Have you gone through trials, deep waters? And then has Jesus ministered to you? Has he helped you? Are you conscious of the fact that he blesses you every day? On our tour to Bible land, very frankly, I left half sick. And I would not have gone if my wife hadn't urged me to go. I just didn't feel up to the trip. But, you know, God was so good to us. We had good weather, and we never had a bad flight. And the Lord just was good to me. I just can't tell you how good. And I was conscious of the fact that my high priest was on the job. He was doing his job, friends. And he was blessing us. He's blessing us. I'm talking to you now about reality, friends. I'm not talking to you about a theory. I'm not talking to you about a religion, a ritual you go to. I'm talking to you about a man in the glory who's alive. He is the living God, if you'll notice that. He's the living God. And that's important. Is he the living God to you? That is a very important thing. And notice what happened here. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." I live in a universe that belongs to him. He owns it. And he has said that all things are ours. Do you enjoy a sunrise? I saw the sun come up this morning. Let me tell you what I did. I went out on the golf course by myself. I saw the sun come over the Sierra Madre Mountains this morning. And he did that just for me. What a performance he put on, friends. He's wonderful. And what a glorious day it was. My, he's so wonderful, friend. He's the living Christ. And I just thanked him again for bringing me to another day, and I thanked him for being so good to me, and I told him I loved him. May I say to you, the living Christ, you're at God's right hand. How real is he to you today, friends? Now I'm going to keep reading here because it's very important, and this is not what you'd call deep theology. T-bone steak doesn't have to be the doctrine of predestination. In fact, that's not T-bone steak. If you ask me, that's pablum. But here is something very simple, and I want to read this now because we've been over this. I'm reading verse 3 again. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Now, why did God, in a book where he gave the pedigrees, leave Melchizedek out? Because he's going to become a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and his priesthood. That's the reason. And that's the reason all of these things have been given to us. You remember I read last time that all these things happened unto them for types, and they're written for our admonition. Do you get a message out of all the Bible? This is written primarily to Hebrew Christians. Well, it sure is slanted toward us, too.